The sermon this week is titled, Being God's Image Bearers, and it concludes our Holy Week series. The reading is from Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them.
Good morning, everyone. So whoever thought that we are the image bearers of God himself? When you stop and think about that, it is a profound thought that each one of us are not just a coincidence, that God knew us even before we were born, and he created us in his own image. So I don't know about your own personal family. Some of you I do know. But maybe as a child, as you were growing up, you heard these comments. Oh, you look like Grandpa so-and-so. Or you look like your mother. Or you look like... When God is wanting us to know that he created us to look like him. And we're going to talk just a few minutes about that this morning. Just before we say good morning to one another, I probably don't do this as often as I should. But I just want you to know, first of all, I like to talk to our students, how much I appreciate you being with us every week. It means a lot to us. Our congregation is smaller than it has been for several years, but that's not the reason why I want to encourage you to continue to be part of us. We want you to know that we value you very, very, very much. And even though we don't see you often, many of us don't see you often except on Sundays, we don't take for granted your presence with us. And I hope that anything that's been said or done as the years gone by, I hope that maybe it's been helpful to you, and we just wish you well, not just today, but throughout the rest of the year and throughout the summer. And I also want to say to our own church members who just can't get here very often throughout the week for small groups and so forth because people are busy and they live distances away. People come to us from Hamilton, Burlington, Stony Creek, St. Catharines, and so forth. And we want you to know that we love you and we appreciate you and we value you being here. And you may not feel that way sometimes because maybe a week or two goes by, maybe a month goes by, and you don't hear from anyone. But you're not far from our minds. We live busy lives, and sometimes busyness gets in the way of communicating with one another. I don't know how to do it better than what we've been doing, except maybe we can all put our best foot forward and just reach out to one another and say, we value you and we welcome you as our family. So let's just take the opportunity to stand up where we are this morning to say good morning, and then we'll get into our lesson for today. So recently we've been talking about Good Friday, where on the cross, Jesus gave his life, and he said, it is finished, indicating that everything that happened in the past is done away with, and life starts again fresh. A brand new world begins. And then comes Easter, the resurrection of Christ. We live on the other side of this, sort of. But can you imagine being a disciple of Christ? And he starts to talk about this. We're thinking that he is the Messiah, that he's going to start a new kingdom on the earth that will get rid of the Romans and that Christians will kind of rule the world. That's never what Jesus intended. But he did intend for us to belong to his kingdom that has to do with love and peace and service. So when Jesus died, the disciples became absolutely distraught. They couldn't believe it, even though in Mark's gospel, he records it three times that Jesus said this is exactly what's going to happen. They couldn't believe it. And so if we can somehow put ourselves in their shoes that Jesus dies and he's put into a tomb and they wait. And the Bible's somewhat silent. But they wait. They're in the in-between period. They wait with thoughts of maybe, it's just never gonna be good again. And then the resurrection comes. And then their life is renewed and revived again. And then if you were here last week, you remember this amazing scene that's found in Matthew and other places, and especially in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus is leaving the earth, and he's leaving the earth in a physical body. That when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised in a physical body. He spent time with people, eating with them. And it tells the story of Thomas was afraid of almost Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Here, look, look, feel. And he ate with them and he spent time with them. Some 40 days he was with them. And it talks about lots of people being with him. He appeared to some 500 people at one time. He was alive and well. And then Jesus leaves. And this is where I come to us today, that you and I are just like the disciples, waiting. When Jesus died, his disciples waited, wondering what was going to happen. And when Jesus left the earth, the angels, remember what they said? I love the way the King James Version puts this. Why stand ye gazing? And I thought, well, wouldn't you? Wouldn't anybody? Jesus is leaving. And the angel says, Jesus is leaving and he will come back the same way he left. He left in a physical body. He'll return in a physical body as he renews, and as one person says in scripture, the liberation of all things becoming new. And as the disciples waited between his death and his resurrection, you and I wait for that ultimate consummation, reconciliation, restoration, liberation of all things. We're just like the disciples, waiting, waiting. And some will give up waiting. Some anticipate what will happen. My question is, so what do we do? How do we wait? What does this mean to us? Which got me thinking about when God created all things, right from the beginning, he created mankind, humankind, men and women, in whose image? God's image. So how do we wait? We wait as image bearers, standing between heaven and earth, waiting for that reconciliation to take place. So what do we do while we wait? How do we wait? How do we demonstrate? And as Peter said, live in such a way that it will speed its coming, that ultimate will take place as we speed its coming, that we live as image bearers standing between heaven and earth, that one day we'll be joined together with Christ. How do we wait as image bearers of Christ? Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures that in my mind are pretty interesting. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. In my mind, he's talking about being God's, and I'm saying this properly, being God's loving care of creation itself. People, earth, and all things. How do we live as image bearers? We live as loving creatures here on the earth, demonstrating God's love, helping others. But here's what he says, beginning in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, us, to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I'm just going to stop. This to me is beautiful language for his disciples as they waited after Jesus died. It was darkness. It was just darkness. What's going to happen? And they didn't have, let's just turn to Matthew 28 and see what happens. They didn't have it. Jesus told them what was going to happen, but really? Really? And they wondered, they waited. What are we going to do with all this? It seemed like there was so much darkness. Do we ever feel this way? If God created us in his image, and Christ died for us and rose again, and will come back one day and liberate all things, do we wait in darkness? Or do we become part of this ultimate fulfillment of all things by living in such a way that people say, why do you live this way? Why do you live this way, helping others, encouraging others, pointing people to God and to Christ, helping others on the earth, creating the earth to be a beautiful, beautiful place, whether it be environment, health, whatever it is. It's important how we live on the earth and what we do to the earth and people on the earth. Isn't that right? Not just how we speak to one another, but that we are his image bearers here on the earth. Because he brought us into this, picking it up in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image or the visible of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Talk about an image bearer. To reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Beautiful passage of scripture reminding us that we are in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we use 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17 in a unique way, whereas he talks about that we're made new. Anyone's in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. We sometimes use that in reference to baptism, and I think that's good. But I think there's a lot more to it than just our baptism. That a new creation is that we're always being renewed. How many of us have learned some new things about Christ and about what the kingdom is in the past year? And how many of us have learned new things over the past 10 years? And then think of your age today and how much have you grown? How much have you learned? How much have we anticipated what will happen because of Christ Jesus? The great thing about Christianity and the gospel is things always become new. We learn new things all the time. And as we learn new things all the time, we learn them as image bearers. Go right back to the beginning. He created us in his image. I think one of the greatest compliments that could ever be given to anybody is when someone says, man, I don't know, I've never met Jesus, but you seem to live your life that way. You just seem to live your life that way, where you care for people. You love people. It's not a show. You don't live your life with fear, but you have a purpose, that you use the abilities that God has given you for this work. So I wonder if you want to notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which spends a lot of time talking about this death and this resurrection in Christ Jesus. And really, it's not just the physical part, but the emotional part and how we live on the earth and what it all means. And after this lengthy chapter about resurrection, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now watch verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm as image bearers. Let nothing move you as image bearers. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord as image bearers, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep being image bearers of Christ. It's one thing to have an intellectual understanding of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it's another thing to embrace it by living in such a way that people say, wow, I've never really understood life lived that way. That you really do care about God, that you really do care about people. And that if you're feeling lonely or isolated or feel like nobody cares, there's a surefire, guaranteed method to get out of that, and that's by being an image bearer of Christ. Reaching out to others, doing whatever we can, even if it's in a limited way, anything done as an image bearer of Christ is worth it. What is it Jesus said? Anyone gives a cup of cold water in my name shall be rewarded. You make a difference in the world. We make a difference in the world by being his image bearers. I know I've told you this story before. And for me, it's an emotional story because she left us too soon. But many of you know Eartha Zilla, and wonderful, wonderful Christian lady. Great athlete, loved being with kids. She would teach all day and sometimes on her way home stop at Great Lakes to play a game of badminton or volleyball with any of the kids. Just a really wonderful, wonderful person. Wonderful wife to Richard and wonderful mom to Kalita and Michaela and Justine. And when the kids, Kalita and Justine and Michaela, were in high school, she would often drop them off at school every day before she went off to teach school. And every day, when that happened, every day, she would say to all of them, all three of them, do good. She never had to say, be good. They're going to be good. That's the way they were raised. And they're lovely people. They're be good. She always reminded them, remember, do good. If there's somebody who's lonely, be a friend. If there's somebody who's hungry, share your lunch. If there's someone who's struggling, help them. And on, it was a reminder every day. I haven't come to school today just to be in school. I've come to be, even though they may have not put it in this word, an image bearer of Christ. So verse 58 says, even though we have this great understanding of the resurrection of Christ and his coming back to us one day, he reminds us, remember, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't let that labor become next to nothing. So let me finish with a couple of scriptures that you know very, very well. I think it has to do with shining as light. You've heard the joke told many, many times in various ways. How many plumbers does it take to change a light bulb? How many farmers does it take to change a light bulb? How many I read this sometime. I think it was from N.T. Wright. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? And I didn't know the answer. The answer was, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? None, because God's already changed it. He's changed the world to light through Christ Jesus. And as soon as that is said, you probably think of the scriptures that remind us of light. How about 1 John chapter 1, a pretty familiar passage of scripture. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. John's always talking about light. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. So I stop before I read further. God is light. Who are we called to be? What are we called to be? Image bearers of the light. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? None. God's already changed it. It's our job to walk in the light, to be the light, and let light shine into corners of people's lives who've only seen darkness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. How about one more? And this is the last one. Go back, way back to Matthew, the great Sermon on the Mount. We remember passages like this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. Peter talks about being in the light as well. Live such good lives, Peter says, that even though people may accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And Matthew tells the story of Jesus coming alongside and teaching people, and he sees a group of people who are lost and hurting, and the religious elite of the day had kind of pushed them down and pushed them away. And Jesus comes along and he says, you may not know this, but you're blessed. Can you imagine being told all your life by religious elite people that you're no good for nothing, that you don't measure up, that there's no way that God's ever going to be pleased with you. You're beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. And here comes someone who looks like, well, if anyone looked like God, it must be him. And he says to us, you who have been pushed away for centuries, I want you to know you are chosen by God. You are blessed. You're poor in spirit. You're mourning. All these things are good things. You've been told you don't measure up. Jesus said, you are image bearers of God by being who you are, by caring for people, by mourning for people who mourn. You're blessed even when people persecute you. You need to know Jesus was persecuted and you may be persecuted. You're blessed. So then he says, based on all of that, you are, this is verse 14, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say, now, I really want you to be the light of the world. He said, you're doing it. You are. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in this house. In this same way, let your light so shine before people that they'll see your good works and praise your Father in heaven because they know that you look like him. You're an image bearer of Christ. You're an image bearer of God. Sometimes it's done by a whisper. Sometimes it's done by giving a hug or receiving a hug. Sometimes it's done by writing a note or receiving a note. Sometimes it's done in mourning someone who's mourning. Sometimes it's done when a young person or any age says, I really want to be baptized into Christ. And that person's baptized into Christ and they come out of the baptistry and they're not alone. Oftentimes there are many, many people surrounding them, loving them, and saying to them by their presence, maybe not in words, we're standing with you. And even after high school, even after graduation, we may not see each other again. We may never see each other again, but I'll never forget what happens this day. That'll be with me for the rest of my life. I'll remember this. Or at a funeral service for some saint of God who's passed. Gentle, kind, loving spirit. How many people in the past 25 years that we've known who've passed and we think of them like it was yesterday? Because they're image bearers. They may not be with us physically, but they'll be with us forever, encouraging us and motivating us. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you so much. Words don't measure up to what you encourage us to be. And as you left this earth and will return, creating something new, may we reflect that news, that joy, and be your image bearers daily as best we can through God's Holy Spirit who blesses us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit, and we all say, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.